Hello, my friends, and welcome once again to another message through the media. Well, a radio, of course, the Just Jesus Network. I'm so pleased that they've allowed me to be a part of their Saturday morning lineup. Oh, it's a joy and a pleasure. I look forward to it. Now, today I've got a message that, well, it is a message because it sends a message. But the title is very short and to the point. I call it His Way. His Way. Now, you know whom I'm talking of, right? God, right? Of course, God's way. You know, somewhere, even as I speak, either far away or perhaps in your own household, there may be one or more people who are not going to heaven. Wow. You don't want to hear that, do you? Of course not. It could be a sister or a brother. It could be maybe your mom or your dad even. They're not going to heaven. What a terrible thought. Terrible. You know, if they're not saved and going to heaven, then they must be going to hell. Perish the thought, I say. Mom and dad going to hell? Brother and sister going to hell? No, 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 I don't want to go there. But you know something? It's true. It's true. It is. Oh, to know that they're not saved and going to heaven, then they must be going to hell. There's no other place they can go. There's no purgatory. Like the Catholics teach. I know what I'm saying because I used to be a Catholic for many years before I found the truth about the Lord Jesus. But even worse, about your friends and family not going to heaven, is that they think they are going to heaven if there is a heaven. You see that phrase at the end, if there is a heaven, that's what makes a difference to them, because they're looking for signs. They don't look for signs about hell because they've accepted hell if there is such a place. It's all around us trying to devour us. It's heaven they have a hard time grasping because the world has turned almost inside out and evil has gained the precedent over everything and everyone almost. Oh, man. You know, in Isaiah, here's a scary one, too. In Isaiah 5:14, we read, therefore, hell hath enlarged herself. Have you got that? Therefore, hell hath enlarged herself. Now, this is strange to me because hell is being genderized here. You get it? Enlarged herself. The female gender. Let me read from Isaiah. Isaiah 5:14. The Word of God says, therefore hell hath enlarged herself and opened her mouth without measure, and their glory and their multitude and their pomp, and he that rejoiceth shall descend into it. Why? I don't know. I don't have the answer. But it's something to think on, is it not? Unless each and every one of these people who I'm referencing is certain and recognizes that the only way to heaven is by way of the cross, then that person will suffer for all eternity in hell. And the only sure way some folks will actually believe what I just said is when they arrive at one of the other destinations. What's the other destination? It's either heaven or hell, right? So, if you're not going to heaven, where are you going? Exactly. Hellfire. I know what you're thinking. I know because I also used to think the same way. I was positive I was going to heaven. But you know something? I was positively wrong. You see, I was a Catholic back then. Catholicism, in case you didn't know it, does not save. Catholicism does not save. Lord have mercy. The problem about thinking if you're going to heaven or hell is usually generated by people you know or people you admire or respect. It is. When it should be the Bible which gives you the answer. And it does. Search the Scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life. For example, perhaps your way of thinking is motivated by someone you really trust and adore. Like your favorite novelist, perhaps. Or your favorite movie star. Or your best friend. Or even your relatives. Near and far. One of my all-time favorite writers used to be Mark Twain. Mark Twain. Loved his work. He was invaluable as a writer. And was considered by many as a stepping stone to literary success. Mark Twain captivated the student mind with his wordplay. Yet, how many of us know or even believe that Mark Twain had a great hatred for God? Huh? Mark Twain had a great hatred for God? Apparently it seems that way. You know, short of people like Fanny Crosby or Frances Havergal, I'm afraid the only few notables were unfailing in their love and works for the Lord. We know both Fanny and Frances. Great, great saints of God. Movie actors like James Dean, John Wayne, Rock Hudson were among the honorees in my scrapbook before I got saved. After salvation, well, God made known to me through the Scriptures the heartbreaking truth about each of them. For example, my idol, James Dean, created his own cult and even dabbled in homosexuality. Rock Hudson, whom I admire greatly, ignored the world's most beautiful women while he sought the gay life until finally he died of AIDS. Are these the type of people that you adore and worship even? And as for Duke, the Duke, they say, John Wayne, alias Marion Morrison. He fought his own battles, finally being overcome by stomach cancer. Throughout his life, he always sold God short, so as to retain his manly image, never fully acknowledging his need for a Savior. We could go on and on, but to what end? You see, for these notables and many others. Life in the fast lane, well, it would never permit our great God to be the master of their fate. Like I said, I've titled my message, His Way. His Way. God's Way. Jesus' Way. The Word of God is very clear. There is only one way. One way. God's way. One way to enter into the presence of our holy and righteous God. And that way leads through His blessed and only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. Have you got that? Jesus Christ. Whether you do believe it, whether you want to believe it, whether you find it hard to believe, that, my friends, is entirely up to you. But before you decide where you fit in, let me warn you, that's what the sermon is all about. It's either up or down. His way or no way. You see, the middle ground will one day be no more, for God will destroy and scourge the planet Earth and the heavens and create a new heaven and a new earth. And sin and all that is ungodly will meet its end. Will meet its end. So, like I mentioned, unless you stand up and head for the exit or just simply turn off the sermon, then you will be without excuse. Without excuse. The choice is yours. Heaven or hell, or His way, or your way. Believe me, brother, believe me, sister, His way is the only way. The only way. I've heard it time and time again. The great lie of the dragon. What difference does it make as long as we believe in something? Well, I just gave you a list of things I used to believe in, people especially. They won't get me to heaven. What do you believe? Do you believe that Jesus Christ went to that cross and suffered and bled and died for the sin of the whole world? Do you believe that? Well, if you don't, you're not going to heaven. It's as simple and plain as that. It couldn't be put any clearer. That is the bottom line. I also believe that when I was diagnosed with prostate cancer, that if I didn't get a cure, I would certainly die. I also believe that when I developed skin cancer later on, that if I didn't seek help, I would die. There you have it. The difference that it makes. The way you choose does make a difference. Heaven or hell. You don't even have to say the words. All you have to do is believe. Believe. That's between you and God. Between you and God. Of all the deadly diseases the world has ever known, the greatest of all is not cancer or heart disease. No. It's the sin of rejecting the gospel of Jesus Christ. The greatest sin man could ever have, ever make, ever be guilty of, really. Some folks say, we all worship the same God, but in different ways, that's all. We may give our God a different name, like the Hindus and the Muslims do. You know what's going on over in the Vatican? the Pope. I never believed he was saved from the beginning, but he's making it clear he doesn't believe now that Jesus is the only way. What's this doing to his multitudes? Well, they're believing what he's believing. They call him the authority. The authority. They also say that people need to love each other and not let our doctrinal differences divide us. In other words, if you're a Protestant, love the Catholics. If you're Hindu, love the barbarians. It doesn't matter. Just as long as you love. I know love is the key word. I accept that. But for what purpose does the love evolve? From what purpose? Is it a godly type of love, or is it just a friendship love? Tell that to the Muslims. Tell it to the Hindus, who do not believe in a literal hell. Or do they believe, nor do they believe, rather, in Jesus Christ. They believe that it's necessary for all of us on the earth to get along because we're all going to live together in heaven. That's what they believe. But keep in mind, the Christ of God is not invited. Their heaven is not in the heaven above. The heaven above the earth. Their heaven is the hell within the earth. But they don't want to believe that. They don't want to believe. Obviously, the Word of God, as it pertains to Jesus Christ, is nothing more than folly to them. Folly, that's all it is. For example, John 14:6, Jesus said, "Unto them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." They laugh themselves silly over that. In Proverbs 14:12, we read, "There is a way which seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." Over in Matthew 7:13, we read, "Enter ye in the strait gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth unto destruction. And many there be which go in thereat." Verse 14, "Because strait is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and," get this last part, "and few there be that find it." Few there be that find it. What does that mean? Matthew 24:40, "Then shall two be in the field." Picture it. Two standing in the field. The one shall be taken and the other left. Oh, we as Christians know there is only one way to heaven. Considering how much the world's population is made up of Christ rejectors, they feel justified. Few there be that find it. Why can't they be among the few? Because they don't really believe. You know, the problem remains. We, as Christians, hold fast to our Christian Bible and believe it to be the true Word of God. The Muslims, on the other hand, have their Quran and believe it to be the true Word of their God, Allah. The Hindus have theirs, and the Japanese theirs, and so on and so on. Is it possible we, who call ourselves Christians, have chosen the wrong God, the wrong book? Let me say this. Just as beauty is in the eye of the beholder, so also must faith be in the heart of the believer. And the believer is talking about Jesus Christ. The believer in Jesus Christ. You know, I'm a firm believer that we who profess to be Christians can become weak in our faith, even appear briefly to even lost it. We're still in the old flesh. However, I also stand firm that once saved, always saved. Once saved, always saved. Hold on to that. And once indwelt by the Holy Spirit, always indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God. And though we may grieve Him, He cannot and He will not leave us until we are raptured out at that appointed time. The name Christian has been made a laughingstock in many parts of the world. You probably realize that. But do you know why? One of two reasons. Either we do not defend the faith, or we are not in the faith. We can thank the apostate mega churches for that. For many, their salvation is not turning away, but merely a turning to. In other words, repentance is not essential as long as you turn to the faith. To improvise, even show compromise to another faith, wherein is the absence of Jesus Christ, is to show a folly God and a God that can be overlooked. Do not call yourself a Christian. Romans tells us that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. When I was a Catholic, we put sin into categories. There was mortal sin. There was venial sin. So forth and so on. Unforgiven sin is sin without Christ. Sin is sin. Once it's confessed under the blood, it is not only forgiven, but forgotten. The blood covers it. The major problem today is within the professing Christian churches, because they uttered so-called sinners' prayers. They think they have taken ownership of the cross, but only with their hands and not their lips, while their hearts betray them. I speak not of everyone. Many and more notable preachers of today, I fear, are traveling the many roads which lead nowhere, and compromise has run amok. A preacher friend of mine once told me that salvation is not a feeling. I totally agree. I know how I felt on that cold October night in 1987. And when I pleaded through the tears and the rain to my God to save me. And I know how I felt every day since, day after day after day after day, and how He took me aside and taught me from His holy word, using me in one ministry after another, how He provided all that I needed, but only when I needed it, so as not to always be in need. Several times He brought me close to death's door, only to show me that He was blocking the entrance. He showed me the tiny sparrow and how He provided for them. And then He showed me the little children, and He taught me how to love them, when I myself had barely known what love was. And then He took me to the Garden of Gethsemane and showed me His Son in great agony. And then He took me to Calvary and showed me how He really loved me. This and then I will close. Friends, if you haven't been to Gethsemane to see our Savior in dread and torment, won't you ask the Father to take you there? Won't you? Friends, If you haven't been standing next to Mary and John at the foot of the cross as the Roman soldiers pierced the Savior's body and nailed him to the cross, won't you ask the Father to take you there? And friends, if you haven't watched the blood flow from Emmanuel's veins in the dust of Golgotha, won't you ask the Father to take you there? Friends, if you haven't been to the tomb where they laid his crushed, broken body, won't you ask the Father to take you there? This is where your redemption lieth. This is where salvation is found. This is his way. I want to thank you. I want to thank you for listening to this message today. And if you didn't fully get it the first time, I pray that you'll listen to it again. But I pray most of all for your precious soul, that if it's not right with God, if you haven't committed yourself to what happened at Calvary and given your life over to Christ, please do so without delay, because we don't know what tomorrow may bring, and then it could be too late. Thank you. Thank you for lending me your ear. Until next time, may God bless. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen.